Welcome back to the OU Shinai Mikra Project and our series on Parshat Vayera. This is Menachem Liptag. In today's shir, we study Shlishi, the third Aliyah, beginning with Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavtet, at the end of chapter 6 in the book of Shemot. Vayedaber Adonai Moshe Limor, Ani Adonai. Hashem speaks to Moshe, again telling him, I am Hashem. In our opening shir, we talked about how important that phrase, Ani Hashem, is, which implies, as we explained, you must be obedient and follow my order. Daber al Paro Melech Mitzrayim, go now and speak to Paro, the king of Egypt, et kol asher ani dover elecha, everything that I am telling you to tell him. Recall that the first time Moshe went to Paro, everything backfired. They doubled the workload of the people. Moshe Rabbeinu was very reluctant to go back and try again. In his opinion, there's no reason why it would work. God has to command him, not only encourage him, but command him. He must go back to Paro and continue his plan. God promises, I'll be with you. And step by step, God's plan is going to unfold in front of Moshe. Let's listen now to Moshe Rabbeinu's response in Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Moshe lifnei Adonai. Moshe responded in front of God as follows. Hein ani aras v'taim. As we explained at the end of the first Aliyah, Moshe seems to be saying, I'm not an eloquent speaker. The concept being that after circumcision, a person is more complete. There's something imperfect before circumcision. And Moshe seems to be saying that even though my lips can speak, because I'm not perfect at speaking, I'm not eloquent, and I don't know how to deliver my message clearly, again he says, I'm not the proper person for you to send to Paro. Many commentators, both ancient and modern, see in Moshe's behavior here something negative, that he's trying to shirk his responsibility. I think, however, it's possible to explain that this is part of Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, that he thinks he's not fit for the job, and from a certain perspective, this may be one of Moshe Rabbeinu's most important credentials for leadership, the very humility, thinking, I'm not capable for this job. This job is way too great for me. That humility may actually be what's behind the greatness of his leadership. Add to this the fact that the first time he went to Paro, he failed. And Moshe has a very good argument in front of God. From the continuation of this conversation, it appears that God accepts his argument. As we see now in the beginning of chapter 7, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Re'e, Netaticha Elohim Lefaro. God told Moshe, look or understand, I'm making you like God to Paro. Aaron, your brother, he will be your spokesperson. Here I'm translating the word Navi, not as prophet, but rather as a spokesperson. Let me explain why, based on Pasuk Bet. Ata tedaber et kol asher atzaveka. You're going to say everything that I command you. However, Aaron, achicha, yedaber al paro. Aaron, your brother, he'll relay that to Paro. V'shilach et b'nei Yisrael miyatzo. After that, Paro will send b'nei Yisrael out of his land. Here we have an excellent definition of what Nevuah means. God would like to give his message to Paro. The problem is, God cannot speak directly to Paro. Therefore, Paro is nowhere near the level of being able to understand a prophecy from God. However, Moshe Rabbeinu, he can understand what God says to him. It's Moshe's job to understand what God says and relay the message of God to that person. But now Moshe has the same problem. Moshe is saying that even though I have a message to give to Paro, Paro won't understand what I'm telling him. Therefore, God says, I'm going to give you a spokesperson. Aaron will be your Navi. You have a message to give to Paro. You tell that to Aaron. He'll understand what you're saying. And Aaron, who's much more eloquent, he'll be able to give that message and relay that to Paro. This understanding of Nevuah is very important because many times we think Nevuah is about predicting the future. The main job of Navim is not to predict events in the future or to perform miracles. The main job of a Navi is to be the spokesperson on behalf of God. God has a message for mankind, and especially God has a very important message for his people and the nation that he has chosen to represent him. Since most people are not on the level that they can understand the word of God directly, God has to give his message to his Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im who understand God, they can relay that message to the people in a way that the people will understand. Now you might remember from the first Aliyah that we already seem to have had this conversation between God and Moshe Rabbeinu, because back in Perek Vav and Pasuk Yud, God told Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paro and tell him to send my people out of Egypt. And Moshe told God, first as Kal Vachomer, B'nei Yisrael didn't obey me, why should Paro obey me? And then he said, I'm also Aras Fatayim. And now we seem to have a truncated version of that conversation, not Moshe Rabbeinu's entire answer, but only his answer about Ani Aras Fatayim. Rashi, at the beginning of our Aliyah, he explains that this is indeed the exact same story, but because I interrupted the narrative with the genealogies that was yesterday's Aliyah, that finished with Pasuk Chavchet, because of that interruption, now I have to pick up the story where I left off, and I return now and repeat, at least in a shorter version, what happened already in Pasuk Yud through Yud Bet. However, there is a tiny little difference, and I think here it's going to be meaningful. Recall in Pasuk Yud Gimel in Perek Vav, the God had also commanded Moshe and Aaron to command Bnei Israel to be ready, to be worthy, to be taken out of Egypt, and also to go to Paro and command him to send the people of Israel out of Egypt. We explained, though, in the first Aliyah, that his mission to Bnei Israel was a failure, but Lo Shemua Moshe, they didn't listen, they didn't obey that command to get ready. We have this little break with the genealogies and leadership, and we're going to notice that beginning now with chapter 7, all the conversations between God and Moshe Rabbeinu are going to relate only to going to Paro. We're going to enter a unit where we describe the 9 plagues, and all the conversations between God and Moshe Rabbeinu are going to relate to the plagues to convince Paro and his people of Yadu Mitzrayim Keni Hashem. It won't be until chapter 12, right before the 10th plague, that we finally have a commandment again by God to Moshe to tell Bnei Israel to do something specific. What I'd like to suggest is that now that we're entering a unit where God speaks primarily to Moshe to go to Paro, and we've abandoned Moshe's mission to Bnei Israel, we're going to restart the story, not only because we interrupted with the genealogies, but that's exactly why we interrupted with the genealogies. Those genealogies provide a delimiter to help us focus that from this point on, the focus of our story will be between God and Paro. When this unit is over, then we're going to go back and pick up the conversation and dialogue between God and his people, which will be the story of Korban Pesach and the readiness to be worthy of leaving Egypt. Now that God had explained to Moshe Rabbeinu how he is going to go to Paro and that Aaron will be his spokesperson to solve the problem that Moshe had of Aratz Sfatayim, God is now going to explain to Moshe Rabbeinu in the next 5 psukim what's going to take place in his next encounters with Paro. Recall that one of the main reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu was reluctant was because Paro didn't listen to him, and the first time he went, everything backfired. God's going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be surprised if he doesn't listen again. In fact, God's going to tell him, I don't want him to listen, and now he's going to explain why. The last 5 psukim of the Aliyah, from Pasuk Gimel through Zayin, form an introduction to the 9 makot. Not an introduction to the 10 makot, but rather the introduction to the 9 makot, all the makot up until Makat Bechorot. Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Va'ani akshet le'paro. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, even though I'm sending you together with Aaron to talk to Paro, to try to convince him to send Bnei Israel out of Egypt, I'm going to harden his heart. I'm going to make many wonders and signs in the land of Egypt. And despite all these wonders and all these miracles, Paro again won't listen to you. And I will set forth my hand against Egypt. In other words, I'm going to punish them even harder. And then, and then I'm going to take my people of Israel out of Egypt with these great acts of judgment, referring to the punishment that Egypt will receive by way of these makot. After bringing so many plagues, one after the other, then Egypt will know that I'm God. When I stretch out my hand against Egypt, bringing these upcoming plagues, and when I take Am Yisrael out of Egypt, then Egypt, the entire nation of Egypt, will then know that I am God. Back in chapter 3, when Moshe first requested to allow Bnei Yisrael permission to serve him in the desert, Paro responded, I don't know who this Yudke Vavke is, I don't know who this God is. God tells Moshe now, after all these plagues, then all of Egypt will know that Ani Hashem, that I am God. Notice, however, that God is not explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu what's going to happen in the next plague, but rather, he's setting up the framework for what's going to happen over many plagues, and it's preparing Moshe Rabbeinu for failure, that even though he's going to go to Paro and warn him to let the people go serve him in the desert, Moshe needs to be ready to expect a negative answer from Paro, and God's telling him, this is part of my master plan. What we're going to see is God never tells Moshe Rabbeinu to the very end exactly what his master plan is, how God is going to take Bnei Israel out of Egypt, the whole story of splitting the Red Sea, and the whole story of when Paro is finally going to allow them to leave, is something that Moshe will only find out step by step. God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're my agent to Paro, and I'm going to be sending you to him, but I'm not telling you the whole picture now, but trust in me, it'll turn out okay in the end, and be obedient to what I tell you. This also forms as a certain reassurance to Moshe Rabbeinu, who might have understood in the beginning when God told him, it's your job to take Am Yisrael out of Egypt. Moshe might have thought that he has to do it by himself. God's telling him, don't worry, I'll take care of everything, but I need you to be my agent. I'm not expecting you to do everything. I'm simply expecting you to follow my orders, like a general to a soldier. You do what I tell you, in the end, everything will turn out okay. Therefore, Pasuk Vav in verse 6, Vayas Moshe v'Aaron kasher tzivad Adonai otam, kein asu. Moshe and Aaron did exactly as God has commanded them. This Pasuk should be read carefully. This is not talking about what happened till now. This forms an introduction to what's going to happen over the next several chapters. When it says Moshe and Aaron did everything that God commanded them, we're going to see, as we read now, that this is an introduction to the first 9 plagues. To conclude this introduction, Pasuk Zayin, U'Moshe ben Shmonim Shana, Moshe was 80 years old, V'Aaron ben Shalosh Shmonim Shana, and Aaron was 83 years old, B'Dabrem Paro, when they spoke to Paro and warned him about if he doesn't let the people go, that God will bring all these terrible plagues against the Egyptian people. To prove that these psukim are introductory in nature, I want to show you that this entire section of the first 9 plagues has summary psukim as well. Recall that in this introduction, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sending you to Paro, but I'm going to harden his heart, and I'm going to bring a lot of miracles, but he won't listen. After the 9 makot are over, in the end of chapter 11, in Pasuk Tet, we're going to find summary psukim, which one could say sort of match the psukim which we just read in the beginning of chapter 7. There in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Lo Yishma Lechem Paro, God told Moshe, Paro will not listen to you, Leman Revot Moftai Beretz Mitzrayim, in order that I can bring many, many miracles against the land of Egypt. And then we're told, U'Moshe v'Aaron asu et kol ha'moftim ha'ela lifnei Paro, Moshe and Aaron did all of these miracles and wonders in front of Paro, v'chazek Adonai le'Paro, but God hardened the heart of Paro, v'lo shilach et b'nei Yisrael mi'arzo, and he didn't send b'nei Yisrael out of his land. The next pasuk is the beginning of chapter 12, where God turns to Moshe and Aaron now, commanding them to tell b'nei Yisrael to prepare for the 10th plague by bringing the Korban Pesach. So those summary psukim at the end of chapter 11 are summarizing the first 9 plagues when Paro did not listen and did not send the people out, that enabled God to bring more and more wonders and miracles against the Egyptian people. So in between the opening lines of chapter 7 and the closing lines of chapter 11, we find 9 plagues. What's going to be different in the 10th plague is after Makat Bachorot, the plague of the firstborn, Paro is going to send Am Yisrael out and finally give in to all Moshe's demands. We're also going to see that the 9 plagues follow a very special format of 3 by 3 by 3. We'll discuss that in the Shurim to come.